Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports, brought to you by KillcliffCBD.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Man, is there a more entertaining athlete on the planet than Fred Smoot?
No, he's basically Deion Sanders' child.
I don't think you understand. We just had the best interview with Fred Smoot of all time. I am really, really cock-teasing you with this one. It's coming up here right after the sponsors, but that was the funnest, maybe, of all time.
That was a good show, yeah.
We've had on the show.
He's really funny. He's
Holy
a funny guy.
Shit. He's on fire. Look, he played for the Washington Redskins. He played for the Minnesota Vikings. Everyone obviously remembers him from the infamous Love Boat scandal up in Lake Minnetonka. And we ask him about that along with everything else under the sun. He was not afraid to answer any questions.
No, he doesn't give a shit.
Whatsoever. And as far as all timers go in Drinking Bro sports history, I gotta put it at one.
Yeah,
I gotta put it at one. It used to be Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah, we haven't seen Freddie in a while.
No, well, I'm gonna have to call Fred tonight and say, "Hey, man, I think Fred Smoot just passed you."
I think he's in Florida fishing. Unless he's gone back to Philly, I don't know.
Yeah. I always see him on Instagram holding up fish, so he's somewhere. I just don't know what part of the world Freddie's in. And that's the beauty of Freddie. The beauty of us is we got some sponsors who put this whole fucking shit wagon on the air week to week. And we are grateful to them. We'll lead off the top with our brand new sports sponsor, KillcliffCBD.com. Best in the biz, D'Anthony.
Yep.
Three amazing flavors.
mango, orange kush, and the grapest of all time, dude, the goat. That's my favorite. That's my end-all, be-all. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can, and you will not piss hot. There's no THC in any of these cans. It's the only brand you can trust as far as CBD goes in the drinkable space. Otherwise, man, you're going down to a head shop, getting some weird shit that you don't know about. It's not properly tested. Killcliff is a brand you can trust. Look, they're in, fuck, man, how many stores?
I don't know, but a lot of these CBD companies are getting shit from China.
Yes.
Which I would not trust, obviously.
China. Because you might be getting not only THC in those, but you might be getting a little bit of the Rona in there, some coronavirus out of those goddamn things. Don't trust China. Trust KillcliffCBD.com. When you go there, type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off and free shipping. That's a big, big part of the bill there at KillcliffCBD.com. Simply for the fact that when you're shipping cans, it's heavy, man. That postage is usually pretty big on that.
Yeah.
So we're amped to have them on all year long as our lead sports show sponsor. And it's something we drink almost every single day. So go to KillcliffCBD.com, promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off and free shipping. Next up, we've got buyraycon.com/drinking bros. Mm-hmm. Here they are, kids. The headphones. Would you say the best in the biz? They've got to be up there.
They're pretty damn good, yeah. I mean, it's
as far as wireless goes.
The battery life and the bass are the two things that I like about it the most.
Yeah, man. You guys have asked. Luckily, they're back, dude, because you guys have asked for a promo code on earphones all the time. Shit's expensive, man. Everybody's jacking up the prices on these goddamn things. Even these pieces of shit we have to wear here, mm-hmm. these were like $100 a piece.
Yeah.
And I'm not amped about it. It's just we have a podcast and that's all we can do. We can't wear Raycons on the show. I wish we could, but they don't plug into the boards.
Yeah.
Instead, we've got to go old school. If you're ever wondering why Rogan and those guys are wearing these goddamn huge things, that's why. The technology isn't there yet, but it's there for wireless.
There are wireless audio receivers, but there's latency and shit. It would sound weird.
Yeah, man. It's strange. Therefore, we got these. These are like $100. Raycons are fucking $65. Mm-hmm. That's it, dude. When you go to buyraycon.com/drinking bros, it gets you 15% off, knocks it down to $65. It's got a 6-hour battery life in these goddamn things. All you do is charge them in this little box, and then you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. These were the headphones that everybody was wearing in the airports and all that other shit before the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck are these? They're Raycons. Go to buyraycon.com today /drinking bros. Buyraycon.com/drinking bros today and get yourself some headphones. 15% off, and I believe free shipping, but don't quote me on that.
I'm not sure about that.
Maybe not. Either way, they're the best. It's worth it. And who do we got last but not least, Anthony?
It's a bed.
Goddamn right. What kind of bed?
I was wearing a ghost bed shirt, and I walked into Walgreens the other day, and somebody's like, what's a ghost bed? I'm like, it's a bed.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like offended. I'm like, I mean, it's one of those beds that comes in a box.
It's the greatest
that comes to your house
mattress
like,
ever.
Like, what do you mean? What is it? I was angry that he asked me what the fuck it was because it says it in the goddamn name. It's a ghost bed. Yeah. It's a bed. It's clearly a bed. The logo clearly demonstrates that it's a bed. Don't ask me again what it is.
It's a fucking mattress. It's the greatest mattress of all time. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and get yourself one. Don't be an animal. Don't be a fucking animal sleeping on the ground outside. Go there. They got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest on it, too. And as always, throughout the quarantine times, and I think this will probably last till the end of May, everything is 25% off in the store. Every single thing. Mattresses, pillows, sheets, covers, adjustable bases, everything is 25% off. And if you order a mattress, you get 2 free pillows with it. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Kids, buckle up. It's an exciting one here coming up. I literally the best interview you might hear across all of the podcasts this week, whatever you're listening to. Here we go with Mr. Fred Smoot. Fred Smoot, welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. What took y'all guys so long to get me on?
We didn't know where you'd be at in the quarantine or if you'd be partying somewhere. Are you currently in America?
Yes, I'm in D.C. I'm in, well, Northern Virginia, right outside of D.C. Just starting to purchase some land in West Virginia. I'm going to name it Westeros. I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, so that's where I'll be hiding it if we have another epidemic.
What about Westeros?
Yeah, yeah.
Make it a pimp farm out there.
You should.
Yeah, why not?
You should. You're one of our favorite players of all time, and you have arguably the best personality in NFL history. You're often tied, of course. I'm sure every question, every interview that starts off with you has got to be about, obviously, the love boat for the Vikings.
Most definitely. But I tell people all the time, you know, when you're talking about Viking lure and you're talking about Viking history, the Vikings been going to villages taking people, women, for years. It didn't start with us.
So you really, you're a method actor when it comes to being a Minnesota Viking.
I like to get into care.
Yeah, I
like
I got
to get
it,
into
yeah.
care. If you don't feel part of something and claim something, you got to take all of it.
Yeah.
You have to. The police report on that was obviously one of the most epic of all time. One of the first times I can remember in any police report where they graphically describe the use of a double-headed dildo.
Yeah, I've never heard the phrase, quote-unquote, manipulated the dildo.
Yeah, manipulated the dildo I felt was unfair to you. It didn't seem like you probably had to manipulate anybody on that boat.
That I'm finna say, like, it's the word, like they said, manipulate. You know, me myself, I was just being a good Samaritan. I was asked to hand her that weapon of mass destruction, and I handed her the weapon of mass destruction.
Looking back at it, though, at your age, making millions of dollars in the NFL with all of your friends, that's exactly what you should be doing with your money at that time.
Well, it's so funny now. That's why they say some stuff happens before its time. And I think if this happens today, we never hear about it. It's just one of those situations where it was a glorified bachelor party. We know every year it's a rookie party for every team. Now, what every team does, we do not know. That was one of those times where everybody found out all the information about it. And like you said, it became things of lore in history.
Yeah, because look, I think all of us at some point, Dan, like we've gone to bachelor parties and all of mm-hmm. that. Like I'm a Hollywood guy, right? Done a bunch of movies. There was one party that I went to in particular when I was, I think, 23 or 24, where a huge agent had rented out the W in Santa Monica. And you went up and one floor was prostitutes in every single room. And if the door was open, you could go in there and enjoy that prostitute. If it was closed and locked, then you couldn't. And you had to move on with your life. I'm sure in the NFL, this took place all the time.
But see, that's where they were wrong. No, I just said I believe in the correct wording. We had working girls. We had strippers, not prostitutes. I think it's a little bit more tasteful with the strippers. You know, they work hard for their money. And that's what happened on our trip. It was basically, they was on vacation in Minnesota at the time. You got to realize they're not working. They just dancing. They just having fun. And I think that's where it got overtaken. And when they really started to investigate it, they realized that we broke no rules.
Yeah. Yeah, you broke no rules. You got fined, though, a ton of money. What was it, something like 84 grand?
Oh, I got fined. Listen to me. This is what happened on this. I literally got fined and had to pay my lawyer more than what I had to pay for the whole thing. When it was all, when the dust settled, we got charged for disturbing the peace on a lake. Basically, disturbing the peace on Lake Minnetonka. Ain't but two people been washed in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. That's me and Prince. Yeah. And guess what? That's what we got charged with, but our credibility and our name got through across the mud enough that it really hurt some of us.
Yeah, let me ask you, were any of them as hot as Apollonia, though? Any of the girls on your boat?
I can say this about Minnesota, and I would tell people this about the Twin Cities. I usually don't share this information. Minneapolis is one of the hidden gems when it comes to beautiful women in America. It's a stable of beautiful women. Everybody up there looks like Prince or Apollonia. Yeah.
Really? I'm shocked to hear that, actually. I figured, you know, look, I pictured it as a white state, right? A bunch of white people. And I figured you're indoors a lot. I went to a Midwestern school, Ohio State. So it was cold. It was cold for a lot of the year. Minnesota's freezing. I just figured they all stayed inside. Mm-hmm. They were milky white all the time and kind of bigger, but that's not the case.
Well, you got to realize, we're talking about Scandinavian descent. Mm-hmm. These are very tall, beautiful women. And then if you really look at the population up there, I think the mixed population is the highest population.
Is it really?
Maybe. I think it is.
Man. Best strip clubs in America, which city? What's the number one with a bullet, you think?
Well, most definitely, it has to be Atlanta. Atlanta is that hub when it comes to strip clubs, not only because a large amount of women come from all across the United States to go work there, but of course it's a Waffle House by every strip club, and I think that just compounds it with the dude.
Well, let me – I meant to, I was going to mention
right,
that.
By the way, I grew up my whole life in Atlanta. You're exactly right.
Right.
On so both of those answers.
You own a Waffle House, right?
Well, I actually went on a 15-year battle with the Waffle House company. This headquarters is in Atlanta to put one in Washington, D.C. But they did not want to go past the Mason-Dixon line, and they didn't want to be in northern major cities. And that's what held it up. They wanted to kind of stay localized, sort of like In-N-Out Burger on the West Coast. They want to stay on the West Coast.
Right, and In-N-Out Burger does it to make sure their ingredients stay fresh. And I can't imagine that that's the case with Waffle House, right? Because – come on.
Well, come on now. You can't hate on a Waffle House.
Oh, no. I've been there many,
Waffle
many times.
Waffle House could be the MVP of restaurants.
100%. I wrote a rap song, a viral rap song, Waffle House Waitress, that exploded. I am a diehard Waffle House fan. I can tell you what my order is right now. Libs patty melt plate, double hash browns, triple covered, smothered, and scattered. And that is off the top of the dome, dude. That's how much I love Waffle House.
Well, I'm an all-star special guy. Cheese on my grits. 4 eggs scrambled, bacon and sausage on the side. Yes, I also know that's the great thing about the Waffle House. It don't matter what clarification, what color you are, how much money you got. You can see anybody in the Waffle House at any time. Yep. It has no barrier.
Goddamn right you can.
It's like the UN of restaurants.
It is. It's my favorite, and it's a staple. I've never had a bad meal there, and I don't need the menu. I've never needed a menu at Waffle House. I know what I'm getting every single time. It's one of my faves. Let me ask you about your career is so amazing and hilarious, and there's so many crazy stories about you. There's a couple I want to confirm here. Is it true that at the NFL Combine on the bench on the bench press you only did one for 225? One bench press.
Hey, you know what, guys? I gave it my all. I talked trash walking in there. Had a small little hype group. And I got on there and I gave them every bit of one bench press. Got up and told them, you didn't come to get a weightlifter. You came to get a cornerback. Come watch me run.
What was your 40 time that year?
I ran 4.4 flat, 4.39.
Okay, damn. And what, you were the sixth corner in that draft taken, right? In the second round?
Yep. Supposed to have been the first corner in that draft. If you look at that year, no cornerback had a better year than me. Then I was in the SEC, dominated the SEC, up for Defensive Player of the Year, up for the Thorpe Award. Oh, I went in and did it. But I was a skinny kid. I was 180 pounds. They wanted me to put on weight.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Because now, look, nowadays, the combine has a lot to do with it. Where, you know, somebody can have a superstar combine who isn't as talented and then vaults up the board. And then somebody like you, which is God-given, naturally talented, it doesn't really matter that you only bench press once, you know, for 225.
Well, me, myself, I think the combine is overrated. You know, if I'm looking for a football player, let me watch him play football. Like, we look at the NFL every year, and it's more undrafted free agents that's part of teams than first rounders. Like, when you look at NFL careers, more Hall of Famers have came out of the fifth round and lower than the first round. So at the end of the day, if you get caught up in the 4.340, the 4.240, was he using it in college? Because I didn't see him get open with it.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, looking at, again, today's players and the combine and all that shit, it's like, you know, the first thing said about chick Joe Burrow was his hands were too small at number one. It's like, we watched him throw 60 touchdown passes last year. I'm good on his hand size. I don't need to know that.
How big do his hand needs to be? As long as his hand can guide the ball to the end zone, to the right receiver, that's all matter to me. They said the same thing about Russell Wilson. Like, the one thing about the combine in the draft, they are looking for reasons why not to draft All right. And mm-hmm. they only draft safe picks in the first round. That's why they people miss on them so much, because they want to draft safe. They get in the second, third, and the fourth, and now they start to take chances on pure talent.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Dan's got a theory on not drafting quarterbacks in the first round. Do you agree with that?
Yep, I think all the better quarterbacks actually come at the bottom of the first and the rest of the draft. I can go with the Dak Prescott's of the world, the Russell Wilson's of the world, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. Let's talk about all the number one picks that's been quarterbacks. Besides Cam and Peyton Manning and Eli, nobody's even made it to the Super Bowl that was a number one pick, let alone had an MVP season. So, yeah, I like quarterbacks that they are the reason they college team win. Like, it's easy for me to go to Alabama or Ohio State and find a quarterback that had five-star receivers, a first-class offensive line. I don't know what he's going to do when adversity comes. But if I see Dak Prescott take a Mississippi State team, make them undefeated, it's something there. It's something there with that quarterback.
Hey, man, that's interesting. I've actually never thought of it like that. You're right. Because, yeah, at Ohio State or in Alabama, you're playing with five-star talent all the way around. You can just chuck the ball in the air and somebody's going to go up and get it. But if you're at a smaller school, you know, Pat Mahomes was obviously infamously passed over. They don't really know. And you're right. You should judge it on winning. I'm surprised I've never – that's the first time I've heard that take from anyone, actually.
Well, come on now. We watched them literally. We watched the Chicago Bears make the worst mistake in a decade. They chose Mitch Trubisky. Sometimes you just got to say these guys' names, and it'll tell you if they're going to be good in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky sounded like he failed in the NFL 20 years ago. And then they end up taking Deshaun Watson. End up taking him over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. Come on. You can clearly see that Deshaun Watson was special. He beat Alabama. This guy showed you 2-3 years in a row I could play against anybody. Mm. And that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes they try to be the smartest person in the room, and they overthink very simple things.
Yeah, Deshaun also housed Ohio State, too. Mm. That kid was great. It's weird what they're doing in Houston. Do you follow the NFL as closely now as you did when you were playing?
Oh, yeah, NFL, college. I love anything got to do with a pigskin. Yeah, I follow it a lot. And what's going on in Houston right now is a Travis Shammockery. That's why I don't believe in allowing the head coach to be the head coach and the GM.
Yeah.
Because as a head coach, he's too emotionally connected to the players. Mm-hmm. He has to talk to us every day. And if I got to talk to the guy that can fire me every day, that becomes a little bit, how should I say, uncomfortable for the team.
Yeah, and it's also like I don't give a fuck. If I'm the GM, I don't care if the coach gets along with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, me neither.
I care that DeAndre Hopkins is catching touchdown passes. That's what I care about, because that's what I'm paying him to do. And I'm paying the coach to make sure
he
does
it. You're not emotionally attached. You're not emotionally attached. Your job is to pick the best players. His job is to put them in position to make plays.
Yep.
Yeah, and in my opinion, DeAndre Hopkins, him and Julio Jones are onesie-twosies for top two wide receivers in the league. You just don't give up your best wide receiver in the league for, you know, David Johnson. That's a strange one to me.
David Johnson, they basically traded him for a trainer and a drink machine. And you can't do that with one of the best receivers in the league.
No, you can't. And if the Falcons traded Julio Jones like that, man, I'd show up at the owner's house. With a Home Depot card.
If I was Julio Jones, I actually would be looking for a trade. And just remember back to like a Herschel Walker trade with what the Cowboys got for them, got for him. So sometimes when you have these players that's ranked 1, 2, and 3, and you still got a lot of holes on your team, it makes sense to trade that one player. How many times have we seen great receivers not named Jerry Rice have great careers and never win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's true. It's very rare. I'd say Randy Moss was probably the only one I can think of that didn't win a Super Bowl.
Terrell Owens didn't win a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
Chad Johnson didn't win a Super Bowl. I can keep going with great receivers that didn't win a Super Bowl. It's only a select few that did. We can only talk about Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Jerry Rice, John Taylor. We can only talk about the ones that had MVP quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell people, when you get drafted, your career depends on who else is on the team. Like, I knew my career was going to be 2 years shorter than it was supposed to be when I got to the team and Jeff George was my quarterback. I knew right then, hey, son, just squeeze the juice out of this lemon. It won't be long.
Where is Jeff George now? We never hear about Jeff George anymore.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this about the general. He catches flack from a lot of people. I love Jeff George. He just had one of these personalities where coaches hated him, but his teammates pretty much loved him because Jeff was going to do stuff his way. And I can promise you this. I haven't seen a better arm in the NFL.
Nah, that dude had a fucking cannon.
Yeah, he had a cannon.
I've never seen anybody throw like him.
Yeah, he just always seemed to be on an awful team.
Yeah.
That was the Jeff George syndrome that was going on. One receiver you didn't mention was Steve Smith.
Me and Steve Smith hate each other. Why would I mention Steve Smith? But you know what? Just to tell the truth, he's my classmate. We came out together. I got nothing but love and respect for Steve. He can be a butthole. He can be an asshole to you sometimes. But I like that. I like the intensity. And we had a lot of wars. It's so funny. He likes to point out the one game that he got me, but he don't want to talk about the other eight that we played.
Yeah, because there was an infamous quote where he says, I ended Fred Smoot's career. The day that he said, I think 201 yards, that's what it was, right?
No, 200 was not on me. I'm glad you rode the boat in the end zone. But like I told him, right now at the age 41, if I run into him at a grocery store on the bread aisle, we going to go at it. We going to go one-on-one.
Oh, who wins now between you and Steve Smith at 41?
In a foot race.
He played an extra couple of years, so his body might be a little bit more beat up than mine. I might then, you know, kind of got back in shape and body feels a little better, but he's such a damn competitor. It's all about who throwing him the ball. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, yeah, he had some good ones over the years. He was a hell of a player, Steve
Jeff
Smith.
Blown. Nobody likes to talk about Jeff Blown or give him his props. He was a good quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you, in today's current NFL, who's your favorite quarterback, and who do you wish was the general of your team?
Woo! I love Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I love it, man. You're talking about having a quarterback that you know every time you go into a game, you got a chance to score 20, 30, 40 points. And I'm a defensive player. We only make plays when we get the offense that we're playing behind. So now the quarterback has to throw. We know what he's going to do. My pass rushers know he's going to throw. I'm going to try to break on balls. I've never played with a quarterback that guaranteed me a lead going into any game. And if I had a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, and what I do love about these guys is they just one of the guys. They don't separate themselves. A lot of quarterbacks are more holier than thou. You know, you got the Mike Jackson and the Jackson 5. Sometimes if your quarterback is that guy and he gets out at attention, some of us start to feel like Tito Jackson. Nobody wants to be Tito. Nobody ever wants to be Tito. I can be greasy like Jermaine, but nobody wants to be Jermaine either.
Oh, man. Let's compare, because I'm a Falcons guy. Diehard Falcons fan here.
Oh, you have nothing to cheer about. If it's a ledge, please step away from it. You have nothing to cheer about your entire life. How's life being a Falcons fan? This is what I know about Falcons fans. I can remember me and my ex-wife having a conversation when we had made it to the point of no return. And she walked out and said, by the way, I've been a Falcons fan the whole time. And ever since then, I have hated the Falcons.
Look, I'm very close to hating the Falcons as well. It's been rough, man. I was at the Super Bowl for that 28-3 game. And it still, to this day, haunts me every day. Because of how many listeners we have and all that stuff, I get tagged probably on average 3 to 4 times a day in a 28-3 meme. And they're all different, and that'll go on forever.
Hey, the question is, did you take a jar, a glass mason jar to that game to collect your tears after the fourth quarter? Did you collect those tears, or you just let them dry up on your face?
Yeah, no, I stumbled into a hotel bar and I ordered, I said, what's the fattest, most disgusting thing on the menu that I could order? And it was, no lie, it was called boatload potato skins. And they were, you know, each of them, it was like a Viking boat cut in half. And I ate those, and I visibly saw there was a husband and wife crying at the end of the bar eating a cheeseburger. Like, it was all Falcons fans, and it was absolutely miserable. The only thing I take solace in is at that game, because we were up by so much, all the Patriots fans had left. So you could see them. The game was in Houston, and it was an all-glass stadium outside, and you could see them fighting to get back in. And, you know, the security to Super Bowl is so intense that they don't let them back in. So they were outside the glass watching on the concession stand TVs. So they didn't get to enjoy the game. And anybody who says they were there, Patriots fans, including Mark Wahlberg, because he was right, he was in the box next to us. Him and his family walked out in the third quarter as well. None of those Patriots fans were there to celebrate that.
Hey, first of all, I got no sympathy for Patriots fans. I got no sympathy for any fan of any Boston sports. All you've done the last three decades is win, win, win. It's been so many parades in Boston when it comes to football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I have no sympathy for them. Like, when it comes to that fan base right there has been spoiled. And now they got to go life without Brady.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see that.
Same. I mean, how do you think that's going to go up there? Because they didn't pick up any sexy free agents. They didn't draft a quarterback. They got, you know, they ended up getting a free agent after the draft had ended as far as quarterback wise. What are those guys going to do up there?
Actually, that sounds about Belichickish. That sounds about right. Like, he's the best coach of all time. And when you got the best coach of all time, you don't need the best players of all time. I've watched this man win chess match after chess match. I've watched him make my coaches look elementary. Mm-hmm. All right? Like, he just whoops them with the pen so bad that you, as a defensive back, you're like, all I needed to do was be drafted by the Patriots and I'd be a Hall of Famer. Like, you know it because he knows the game that well.
So we have a big sponsor on our show called MyBookie.com. That takes all of the gambling and bets and all that other stuff. Promo code Drinking Bros, by the way, doubles that deposit. With that being said, the over-unders have come out already for the win totals. And the Patriots over-under win total out of Vegas and out of my bookie is 8.5. Knowing what happened in the mass exodus that happened in New England, would you take the over on something like that? I did not. I said no.
I'm over all day long on that.
So is Dan.
He's not going under 8 games. No. I'm sorry. He's not going under 9 games. Stephon Gilmore is still there. The best cornerback in the league is still there. Last time I checked, they were the defensive team last year.
Yeah.
Tom had no weapons. They did not score people. They had no tight end. Sonny Michel, I guess he decided to retire and didn't tell anybody. So if I'm a betting man, I'm never betting against Belichick. What happened to seasons that he lost Brady? He got one quarterback paid by Seattle.
Yep.
The other one got paid by the Indianapolis Colts. So at the end of the day, he can win with anybody.
Yeah, I just have a hard time with this year in particular. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen with Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay. He still looks ugly in that uniform. I'll never get used to the photoshopped uniforms on Tom Brady right now in Tampa Bay gear.
Can you take your emotion out of it? It seems like you like everybody else, that you're emotionally attached to it, so you hate the Patriots so bad that you just don't want to look at the truth. But I was always told, emotional thugs need a hug. You understand? I'm here to hug you if that's what you need. But the truth is this, as long as Belichick is breathing, he will be at the top of the NFL. Did you not see him teach his dog how to draft people?
Yeah.
This man is serious.
Yeah, he had the dog in his chair. I think here's the thing. So, yes, I'm emotional about it, but I can admit it. And I can recognize that the Patriots and Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. Tom Brady is probably the greatest quarterback of all time. It doesn't mean I have to like it. I just didn't enjoy that style of play out of New England. It was very boring and pedestrian to me.
It's not fun. After watching The Last Dance and seeing how fun that dynasty was, you got your fun dynasties and you got your non-fun dynasty. The New England dynasty reminds me of the Spurs.
The Spurs,
The Spurs dynasty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know they won and we respect them, but do you know it? Do you remember any highlights from the Spurs championships? They was the most boring championship ever been around.
All I know is there was probably a Robert Horry game-winning three-point shot at some point.
And a bank shot by Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
That's all I can remember from that team. You're right.
And the steal by Ginobili at some point that he goes OC and out of control and he end up at the free throw line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You would have been amazing on one of those. When I was watching The Last Dance, like, your personality would have fit in great with a team like that. Do you wish that you were on a team like that was so great? Because, like, to me, you should be on Fox Sports, ESPN. Like, you should be the guy right now. I think the only thing that was missing was the teams you were on just weren't that sexy. Because you're one of the most entertaining fucking people in the world.
Oh, no, no. Like I told you, you at the mercy of your quarterback. I had no quarterback. So, that means I was now going to play in a championship game. And I don't think you want me and Dennis Rodman on the same team. You know, things can get out of hand at that situation. Do you think I would have went to Vegas with Dennis? Or you think I would have stayed back with Steve Kerr and Joy?
Yes, you would have been in the room with him and Carmen Electra. That would have gone down for sure. You would have been in there and it would have been awesome.
Probably manipulating a dildo.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that the best documentary that you ever yes. saw? It was the best documentary I ever saw in my life.
Ever. And I got withdrawals the next day when I woke up because I knew there wasn't going to be any more of them. And I was like, shit, where do we go from here? Because we're still a ways off from football season. And I'm still jonesing for it. I don't know what's going to happen with the NBA. They're going to try to come back at some point. What that's going to look like with empty fans and all that other stuff, or empty stands, I don't know yet. But I'm jonesing for football. That's a ways off. And then the Last Dance ends. I don't know where to turn from here. I felt sad this whole week so far.
Well, I think I'm going to go to a backyard dirty mattress. A wrestling contest that we got here in VA. So I'm trying to see any sport I can look at now. Anything I can find.
I bet, man. Those backyard wrestling matches get ugly out there too.
Yes, you can lose a tooth or two in those, but hey, they get fun, man. You can only find them in places like Virginia.
Speaking of which, Virginia, were you friends with Michael Vick or any of those guys?
Oh, yeah, classmates. We are class of 2001.
No way.
One of the most gifted classes to ever get drafted. We had a little bit of everything. Usually a draft class is defined by the dominant group. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a dominant group. We still got a player from 2001 still playing by the name of Drew Brees. Drew Brees was picked 4 picks before me by the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
So you got Mike Vick was the first pick. You got LaDainian Tomlinson. I just told you the plethora of wide receivers from Santana Moss to Reggie Wayne, Steve Smith. And do you know who the first wide receiver to be taken in that draft? David Terrell.
Was he really? Yeah, I remember David Terrell. I didn't know he was first in that draft.
And Corin Robinson was second.
First receiver taken in that draft that had Chad Johnson, Steve Smith. Had Hall of Famers all through it.
Our friend Freddie Mitchell was in that draft, too.
Yeah, Freddie Mitchell's a good friend of ours. He was in that draft.
Fast Freddie Mitchell. Now, that was always one of my homeboys. I love to talk trash to Freddie Mitchell. And you know what? One thing about Freddie, he would catch a 5-yard stop route and celebrate like he just beat you for 95.
Yeah, he would.
He's a good friend of ours. He stayed with us at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And Freddie's got endless stories about everybody. He's also not afraid to go ham on everyone. I mean, his Donovan McNabb stories were like, look, man, he fucked me over. And that's how I missed that last big contract in my career.
Well, that's the whole thing about being a receiver. Think about having a career that depends on your trigger man.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be Jerry Rice without Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Imagine Jerry Rice being on a team with Mr. Trubisky. He's going to get 40 catches a year. Like, you are a prisoner to your quarterback. That's why I played wide receiver high school and a little bit in college. But I was like, no, I want to control my own destiny over there playing cornerback.
Yeah, and look, you had a long career, man, and it was fun.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was long. It was fun. It was a dream. Like, I tell people all the time, you know, when kids go 18, 19 years dreaming and putting in all that work for if, you don't know if you're going to make it to the NFL. You don't know if you're going to be drafted. You're just living off a dream and an if. It was a dream for me from day one. I enjoyed it with a smile on my face. I never let football take over who I was. I stayed Fred Smoot the entire time, and I'm reaping the benefits from it now.
Yeah, indeed you are. Let's switch over to college football. Who do you like next year going into the season? I was mixed maybe a month ago on whether or not college football would come back. It seems like everybody's trying to push that forward to get college back. Who do you like in college this year?
Well, think about this. In my state of Mississippi right now, Ole Miseries, all right? I don't usually speak their name, but they got Lane Kiffin at head coach He's gonna, one thing about Lane, he's going to bring some excitement and some offense. And us at Mississippi State, Deep Mississippi State University, we got the Pirate Mike Leach. And listen, I cannot wait. We've always been a very dominant defensive team. If I told you right now, I put an all Mississippi State team in the NFL right now, mm-hmm. they would beat Alabama. Would you believe me if I told you that?
No. You're going to have to name them off for me. All right.
Here we go. Here we go. Alabama don't have a quarterback in the league better than Dak Prescott. We win at that position.
I agree.
They don't have a defensive lineman in the league better than Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones. What's my guy from Tennessee? Simmons. Three defensive linemen that's better than every defensive lineman they got. They don't got a corner in the league better than Big Play Darius Slay. We won up them on that, too. We got linebackers, Bun Derrick McKinney. We got every position beat with them. I'm sorry. They bring quantity. We bring the quality. We're better pro athletes than them.
Our Alabama fans are going to love that.
Do you think it has anything to do with the hotness of the girls at Mississippi State?
Now, you know, on their yard now, the one thing about the Bulldogs, we believe in equal opportunity. Now, it's a college for beautiful women from all over the place. A lot of Tennessee women. Tennessee is very underrated when it comes to beautiful women.
It is. Yeah. Because you got Nashville. You got Knoxville. You got to consider in Tennessee. There's a lot of hot girls.
Memphis used to compete with Atlanta as the strip club capital of the world.
Oh, yeah. Every year. That's a onesie-twosie combo of Atlanta, Memphis, and I'd throw Miami in there strip club-wise, right?
Miami's overrated. Everybody's already 3/4 naked walking the beach. It comes with the territory.
That's true. So how do you think Mississippi State's going to do this year, then?
I think we're going to be good. We got KJ Costello from Stanford at mm-hmm. quarterback. He's on the Heisman watch list. We're going to be potent on offense. We got a returning Kalen Hill at running back. He's going to be a first-round pick at running back, mark my word. We got a very strong defensive line, very strong defense. This will be the best defense Mike Leach has ever coached. So you're talking about a guy that's willing to put up a lot of points with a defense that's going to be optimistic. I think Mississippi State has a chance to get some people off guard, especially with Alabama kind of starting over after Tua leaving. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow is gone from LSU. He was an anomaly because we know quarterbacks go to LSU as 5 stars and leave at 1 stars. They actually go there on the campus and decrease in talent.
Yeah.
So we'll see, can they pick up another quarterback at LSU? I think Auburn is going to be pretty good next year. And Georgia is actually going to be that team you got to watch. Florida also.
Yeah, the only thing with Georgia, I don't know who their quarterback is. And I'm surprised Jake Fromm left early to go into the 6th round. To me, he could have stayed one more year on a loaded team and tried to up his draft stock. It didn't make sense to me. And I don't know who their QB is coming in next year at Georgia.
Man, when I think about Jake Fromm, he reminds me of like a Nissan Sentra. You know, nothing special about it. It'll get you from A to B, but there's nothing special about the car. Like, he reminds me of like the third Hasselbeck brother. Like, I ask myself, what do Jake Fromm do well? And I just think lead is what he does well because he don't throw a great ball. His anticipation is average, but he seemed to show up in some big games. So, you know, that counts for something.
It does. It does. With Mike Leach, though, did you watch him as a coach up at Washington State before he came down to you guys?
Oh yeah. I paid attention to him at Texas Tech. I paid attention wherever he's been. Yeah, I remember him putting people in the closet. He's a hard ass. I love him.
Yeah, and look, he doesn't punt. The guy doesn't punt. He goes for it on fourth down, it seems like, all the time, and then just chucks the ball. Is that style of offense going to suit Mississippi State?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. I actually play that way in Madden. My kickers take the day off. I don't punt. I kick field goals. Like, this guy wants to score. And I think that mindset is going to be great for the offense. You know, we're going to get 6, all right? We're not going to get 3. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be great for the offense. I think they're going to be a great edge because now in the SEC, he become unpredictable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what LSU did last year. They are historically known as a good defensive team with a decent running game, no quarterback, and then all of a sudden Burroughs comes in and succeeds at quarterback, and they light the fucking world on fire. So I wonder if that's going
to
happen.
How good is Joe Burrow? Like, he has the total package. Like, I tell people, when I look at college athletes, tell me their name. If their name sound like a Sunday name, does it sound grandioso? Like, when I hear Joe Burrow, he got quarterback face. He got the He's been around alpha talent. He just got the it factor. Now I'm just hoping the city of Cincinnati doesn't ruin this kid.
I know. That's what I said, too. I think honestly, he's on course right now. If he gets beat up like I think he's going to, he's going to be a journeyman or out of the league in 3 years. Like, he's just going to get remember David Carr? You played with David Carr, played against David Carr, didn't you? From Houston?
Oh, yeah. I've seen David get ruined his whole career. They threw him out there. They kicked him out the club very quickly. I don't think Joe Burrow get kicked out the club that quick. I think Joe will have more of a Carson Palmer feel to the point where I had some winning season with y'all, but it's just time for me to go. I think that's how they'll break.
Maybe.
Yeah. Who do you like next year, then, in college football to win it all?
I'm a Mississippi State guy, but I'm going to take my feelings out of it. I think Ohio State might have the best roster out of everybody. Like I say, I'm kind of cloudy on Alabama right now. They got a lot. Georgia is a team that they always fall short, so I got no love for them. But Florida is the team you got to watch. Mullen is my coach. He was a Mississippi State guy. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. Florida is that dangerous team that could be that wild card. But if I had to be a betting man right now, I would take Justin Fields in Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just because of the way the schedule is set up, I see Ohio State and Clemson. Clemson doesn't play anybody. Their only away game, I looked at their schedule, you know, coming up, is Notre Dame. Mm. That's the only hard game they have on the schedule. And let's face it, Notre Dame isn't really a top-tiered team anymore.
Notre Dame is that course, you know how you go to your grandma's house and it's a Fabergé egg on the shelf? You can't play with it. It's just there. It's worth a lot of money, but it's nothing special with it. Like, Notre Dame is living off the old nostalgia of Notre Dame. They're not the same team. And when you talk about Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, you're right. They're going to be able to put up points, but will they be able to stop people? They lost a lot of people on defense when you talk about Clemson. Mm. And will they schedule come back to hunt them? Because Ohio State is going to play a hell of a schedule. Mm-hmm. Alabama is going to play a hell of a schedule. When push comes to shove, will that be held up against them? And that's what I think when it comes to Clemson, that they're just not playing the competition like everybody else. Mm.
I agree. And it seemed like it got exposed a little bit in the playoffs last year. You know, Ohio State raced out to a big lead in that game. There was a targeting call that changed the course of it. And then you look at the LSU game. LSU just absolutely dismantled them, in my opinion. Like, it's just the athletes were different, man. It was Lawrence just looked out of sorts the entire – like, he looked nervous almost. And it was strange, but he hadn't played anybody all year.
And that's what I'm going to say. His competition level was low, and he's one of those guys – he peaked so quick. I think he's getting bored. I've seen this before. I've seen guys peak in college so quick, and by the time, you know, they're juniors or seniors, they're just going through the motions. They're just trying to get to the next level, and I just hope this kid doesn't get bored. And then he lost a lot of wide receivers. I think Ross is still there with him, so he still has a couple of guys that he's played with. But I'm just hoping this guy doesn't get bored.
Yeah, we'll see. Because, you know, everybody's projecting him to be the top pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he will be the top pick. I just hated that he's going to Jacksonville. Like, he's going down there to hate on a Mississippian, Gardner, the mustache issue. So, you know, but he's going to Jacksonville, man. I'm hoping Jacksonville in a couple of years, really the owner sees what he can really do. And I think he should move that team. I think he should move that team to another state, to another city.
I agree. I've been to a couple games there, and you're lucky if it's a third full. For most of those games. The only one that I remember seeing that it was a full sellout was against the Bills in that playoff game, but half the stadium ended up being Bills fans.
And tell me this about Duval County and Jacksonville. Why does it always smell like a turd? Like, why? It can't be the paper mills. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was paper mills last time I was down there, but there aren't any.
There aren't any.
I don't know what it is.
It's a weird town that's kind of in between, like, party cities where, you know, you're about an hour north of Daytona Beach, so you're not quite there. And you just came over the border of Georgia. So it's one of those things where I think you hit that Waffle House. Right on the border of Georgia, like right around Valdosta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And then you go through, and it's just you're rolling down the windows with those Waffle House poots that are just coming, and that wafts over the city. And that's just my guess about Jacksonville. Because the only other thing they have there is St. Augustine, where it was like, sweet, Ponce de Leon, you know?
Hey, I've only heard two people said he's going to take a vacation to Jacksonville, and they both played golf. Nobody ever takes a vacation to Jacksonville.
No, Jacksonville is the West Virginia of Florida, and Florida is already doing pretty rough as it is, so that's not a great thing.
Wow, that's way to rub their nose in. Hey. So it come with a free six-pack of Mountain Dew? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and boiled peanuts.
Some boiled peanuts and some Baja Blast, you know, just a nice tall boy of Baja Blast.
Come on, man, Jacksonville's got to be the epicenter of white trash America, right? There's no more white trash concentrated in any place in America than right there, in my opinion.
West Virginia, though, is up there, I will say.
No, but that's not white trash. Those are mountain people.
Hey, I love West Virginia. That's God's country. You understand? You got a free banjo when you cross the line.
West Virginia's always been an iffy one to me. I went to a game there. It's, whatever the city is in West Virginia. They call it by...
Morgantown.
I went to a game there. That was the only college I had been to where the girls had bigger calf muscles than the guys. Everything is uphill there for some reason, and they dip. The girls dipped there in the stands.
Oh, yeah, they dip, and they got mustaches and chest hair. You got to realize where you're at and what you're dealing with.
When in Rome, right?
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you just got to go with the flow. And I almost went to West Virginia. I took a trip there coming out of high school, and I almost went to West Virginia. I partied there for two straight days. All I can say, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, same, man. One of the biggest events in my life, partying-wise, was raging with these dudes at West Virginia, and they had something called an atomic milkshake. You know what that is?
No, but it sounds like a turd waiting to happen. What's it?
You fill up a bong, so all the way, a good two-footer, right? You fill that up, and then you pull the slide, and then you put a nitrous balloon over it. So what happens is, when you go to inhale, the nitrous balloon shoots all the weed smoke into the back of your throat.
My God!
Along with the nitrous.
Yeah. So it'll knock you off a chair, and that's how they were starting the night there at West Virginia. And I was like, God damn, it's another level of partying there.
That's a way to spend scholarship money. You know, that's why I know America, we're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. who would have been, like, West Virginia always had great teams. Who would have been your quarterback if you'd have gone there?
Bolger at that time. When I took that trip, Bolger was there. Amos Zaraway was running the ball. Big Thornton was in the middle. They had seven pros on that team when I took that trip.
I was going to say, man, they've always had a really good football team. And I can imagine it was probably a tough choice. But then you go down to Mississippi State and you see those women. Man, you don't leave there.
Well, I'm from Mississippi. So after I had took my trip to Alabama, I actually took a trip to Indiana also. I almost went to Indiana and became a Hoosier. Antoine Randall was there at the time.
Yeah.
He was playing quarterback. They was going to let me play wide receiver and cornerback. I was headed. Coach Cam Cameron was the head coach at the time. I was headed to Indiana University.
No kidding, man. That's a shocker.
Oh, listen. I went and partied in Bloomington, and listen to me. I got a lot of respect. Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah, look, Indiana's a fun town. We went, we always head up to the Big Ten Championship there in Indianapolis. I always have a good time in Indiana. You're right, it's super underrated. Let me ask you this: hottest college girls in America. This is an ongoing debate on our show here. What's your number one college school for hottest girls in America?
Hottest girls in America. I think you can't just say one. I think you got to kind of get it to like two or three, and they're gonna probably be coastal around beach and sun. All right, so you got to go. Miami University has beautiful women, especially with it being a private school. All right, every time I talk to somebody from the West Coast, all I hear is ASU, Arizona State University.
There it is. That's my number one.
I hear it all the time. And I have to think UCLA, USC has to be in there. Mm.
You know, here's the thing. I lived in Los Angeles for, I don't know, 17, 18 years, right? The thing with UCLA is it's mostly Asian.
Well, now.
Yeah. So it's different. Like, it's a different type of school where you're like, oh, shit. I think UCLA back in the 80s was more like hot, blonde, white girl shit. But now it's mostly Asian. USC, though, still gets down. Like, you're fine there. So if you go to USC, it's a blast, and the girls are hot.
And I've also heard great things about an underrated college, San Diego State. I've heard great things about San Diego State.
I mean, it's San Diego.
Yeah, so yeah.
Just walk around. You need to go to this campus or anything. Just walk around town.
You're good. Hey, my number two behind Arizona State is actually Ole Miss. And I know that's your rival, but...
Overrated. I just want to be honest with you. At the end of the day, yes, it's beautiful women out there at Ole Miss, but it's totally overrated. If I had to pick an SEC school, the SEC school I would think the most beautiful women is LSU. I'm sorry. Creole, black, white, yep. Doesn't matter. It's a melting pot. And when you want to talk about partying, you never went to a college game till you went to a night game in Death Valley. For some reason, they're the only college stadium that 90-year-olds are in the stadium drinking whiskey,
yeah,
eating crawfish, and smoking cigars.
Yeah, so we went, what was it? Was it last year or 2 years ago? Last. Yeah, year before last. It was Alabama-LSU for a night game. And everybody had said the same thing. Be prepared for the atmosphere and everything else that went along with it. And LSU lived up to the hype.
Yeah, the food was great.
It was a drinking bro, Tony Tamparello, who threw a bash. We got there. There was bartenders there at the tailgate right across from the stadium. But it's a normal tailgate. And I was like, holy shit. There was an ice luge that was about maybe 10 feet tall. And there was just straight Jaeger going down all day. And then the way they walk in through that, whatever road that is into the stadium with the band and everything else, LSU absolutely lives up to the hype. I'll give you that one for sure.
Oh, no. Most definitely. It's one of the hardest places to play at. But if you go there as a fan, you can really enjoy some SEC football. It's no experience like it in SEC.
I agree. I 100% agree. Now, in the NFL, what was your favorite city to play in? Who had the best women in it NFL-wise?
Ooh, yeah. Luckily, when I was playing, we had no teams in L.A. We had no teams in Las Vegas, all right? No teams in Las Vegas. Now, I like to get this hidden gem out. Seattle has some of the most diverse, beautiful women of all. Seattle, yes, I'm saying.
Really?
Seattle. Somewhere that you would not pick. Seattle is very underrated when it has – when I say – they got a 12th man, and the 12th man is the women in Seattle. They can get you off of your game the night before the game. That's why the Raiders are going to be very good this year, because they're going to have the 12th man of the city of Las Vegas to really get guys off of their game. The Rams, the Chargers.
Have you ever been to a Golden Knights game?
It really helps you at night.
Have you ever been to a Vegas Golden Knights game, the hockey team there?
No, but you know, we beat the Vegas team for the championship, for the Stanley Cup over here with my Washington. So yeah, I watched them closely, and I watched them use home field advantage as a weapon.
Oh yeah,
in their
yeah.
first year.
I'm telling you, if whenever you're in Vegas next and hockey's actually going on, you should go to one of the games because it's loud as shit. It's the loudest building I've ever been in my life.
I was genuinely surprised because I thought going in, you know, every 2 weeks we usually go to the biggest sporting event in the United States, whatever it is, UFC, NFL, Masters, you name it, right? When we got to go to the Stanley Cup to see the Vegas Golden Knights play, I thought to myself, I was like, man, it's a tourist town. I love Vegas. And you're never not going to have fun in Vegas, obviously. But how hard do the fans really go, and are they there? We showed up, dude, outside the stadium. There was 4,000 people raging to like an 80s covers band. You go into the stadium itself. I mean, they are diehard. And just being a part of that atmosphere makes me think when the Raiders get there, it's going to be even crazier for that team.
That's what I said. And you got to realize the Raiders originated. It's a California team. Mm-hmm. California and Las Vegas are neighbors. They're right there. The rebellious California people are going to be at these games. Then you're going to have the tourists at these games. It will be the most hungover crowd in the NFL week in and week out. No matter what, they're going to be intense. And like I said, they're going to use that home field advantage to their advantage. Imagine being a Green Bay Packer, being in Green Bay, practicing, playing games for 2 months, and now all of a sudden we got to fly to Vegas for the weekend and play the Raiders. Hey, guys are going to get in trouble. Guys are going to stay out all night.
Yep.
Guys are going to sneak out. Things are going to happen. You will be tired doing that Vegas game. Yeah, you will be tired.
They call it the Vegas flu in the biz.
Yeah, everybody's got that Vegas flu for a couple days.
It
happens to the Patriots every year when they go to Miami. Every year when the Patriots go to Miami, it happens to the most disciplined team in the NFL.
Is that what it is? I've always wondered, because you can always chalk up a Patriots loss in Miami And Miami's always a terrible team every year. Is that they're all just raging at night because they're tired of Belichick? Hey,
terrible team, beautiful city. All right, so if the team can't beat you, the city will. And Miami is undefeated.
Yeah, goddamn. I've always had a great time in Miami. Miami's a lot like Vegas to me, where it's a 3-day place where it's like, yeah. Dude, after 3 or 4 days, you got to tap out there in Miami.
No, you got to get out of there because there's only a couple of things waiting on you after that 4th, 5th day. It's like New Orleans, too. You got to get out of there before anything happens, before you get any alcohol poisoning, STD. You got to get out of there.
You don't want to be walking around the strip and recognize someone that you had met just a couple of days ago. That's because I didn't ever want to see you again. That was the whole point.
Ever. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a club or a bar in Miami at like 6 a.m. and you see people jogging by and you're like, you feel terrible about your life already, you know?
No, I don't feel terrible about my life. I feel terrible about daylight. Why are you being so healthy? What were you doing last night while I was out? And if you live here, why are you not enjoying this? All right? Why are you not enjoying this here?
I think they're over it. It's kind of like Vegas people where they're just like, I don't go to the strip. I go to the outside bars or whatever. And it's like, you know, I think there's a certain element that comes with it. How is D.C. as a party city? We go up and visit a lot.
D.C. is a top 5 party city in America.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Really?
Really. D.C., because you got to realize D.C. has a – We have an edge over a lot of cities because it's not just D.C. It's the DMV. So we got Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. right there. Mm. Baltimore is literally only 20 minutes away from D.C. So you get so many people. I remember when I first got to the league, we had mega clubs. That's when mega clubs was in. So we had a club named Dream and one called VIP that hold 5,000 people apiece. Damn. So you would go to these mega clubs. And you know how many – what population you got to have to pack – Two clubs that hold 5,000 people. So the parties are off the chain. The fact that I could jump on a train and be in New York in an hour. You know, you got New York, you got Philly. You got all these other places you can go party. And you got all those places that come to the nation's capital. I think D.C. is most definitely top 5 in the United States when it comes to parties, especially when it comes to just how the clubs look, how the clubs feel.
Yeah. What do you think about their squad right now? They just drafted a pretty good edge rusher.
Chase Young is coming there.
Hey, I think he's a mixture. When I see him play, he reminds me of Julius Peppers so much.
Lean. He could probably play linebacker. He reminds me of a hybrid
between Julius Peppers and Terrell Suggs. I guess I call him Terrell Peppers. Like, that's what he reminds me of. And he's a humble kid, and he's hungry. Mm. Like, the day after we drafted him, the first thing he wanted to do was just get around the friends. Mm. You know, he went, got with the defensive lineman, and they just, him and Jonathan Allen just start kicking in and working out and stuff like that. So he has a level head on him. He has a lot of star power. We got Dwayne Haskins at the helm at the quarterback. He's young. He needs to get some more weathering and some more plays, but he's going to be good. We got a young, great receiving core. Right, that's what people are sleeping on with this Redskins defense, offense. And I don't even want to talk about the defense. Remember I said this. Right? Schmoostradamus predicts this right here. You remember the 49ers was a 3-13 team. They went drafted Joey Bosa.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They went got Bosa, and he, how should I say, ignited the other 4 first round picks on the defensive line. He activated these. All right. Now they can all get 1-on-1s. Chase Young would do the same for Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat. We have that same mix of guys up front. And if you can control the line of scrimmage in the NFL, that's half the games right there. The surprise team of the NFL this year will be the Washington Redskins.
Man, if they call you Smoosterdamus, they call me Rostradamus. I made the same exact prediction last week on our show. I said the Washington Redskins will be a playoff team. When I saw the numbers coming out of Vegas, their over-under was 5.5 wins for next year. Yep. I thought that was absurd to me. I hammered the over and bet the house already. All the way in advance. I think they're a playoff team, and I think you're exactly right. With Chase Young, it's going to activate that entire defense. And I don't know why the organization seems a little down on Haskins. He looked great the last three games of the year. I don't understand. And you're right, that receiving corps, Scary Terry, that guy is a problem for people. I'm a big fan of the Redskins this year.
I think what's going to really be the change up with this team is our new head coach and our new leader, Ron Burgundy and Go.
Yeah.
It's all about Ron Burgundy and Go.
Yeah.
He's bringing a new attitude over here. He's a defensive-minded coach. He's going to always protect his quarterback through a running game. A lot of people don't understand. We drafted Bryce Love last year. He set out with an injury. Bryce Love is going to be an addition to this draft class. We got Kendall Fuller. We signed him back after him going winning a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. He's back. Landon Collins is on this team. And don't forget, before Alex Smith got hurt 2 years ago, mm-hmm. we were 6-3 and leading the division that the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl out of. All right? Right? Yeah. This team has proved they can play with whoever. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, question mark. We don't know how many games they're going to play. Cowboys, they ain't got no good relationship with the quarterback. They don't want to pay the man. All right? So that's going to hinder them. And the Giants are just the Giants. Anytime you got Gettleman on the team, you ain't got a chance.
I agree. I'm with you on the Giants. The Cowboys scare me a little bit because they picked up CeeDee Lamb. And so that's a lot of weapons on that team. And Tank Lawrence has been on the show before. Their defense is pretty good as well. I still have the
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, I got respect for CeeDee Lamb. But you know what? My grandma in a wheelchair can burn Big 12 defensive backs. Right? He can burn them all day long running go routes. All I'm saying is this. Now he's going to have to play against NFL cornerbacks that can take him one-on-one. Amari Cooper, I love Amari Cooper. He's a great route runner. But when it comes to cornerbacks, he poses a threat. Mm-hmm. But he ain't a threat like Julio Jones, but we got to double him. I can still get one cornerback to take him out of the game. And you got to ask yourself, they are a run-centric team. How mm-hmm. much are they going to throw the ball?
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, it depends on Ezekiel Elliott and what kind of shape he comes in. Mm-hmm. He's been hit or miss here the last couple of years. So we'll
and they
see.
Used him. I mean, he came in late. They used him. He came in late, and they used him sparingly the first like four or five games.
Yeah, it was almost like they were worried about him getting hurt. So
yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
He got more nose rings than he had yards last year. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get your way too early Super Bowl prediction then for next year. Who do you got taking it all year?
All right. I always believe this. I did this equation last year, mm-hmm. and I picked the Super Bowl winner with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
I always say the team that had the MVP quarterback, because quarterbacks rarely win MVP the same year they win Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you have the MVP quarterback coming into the next year, he usually has something to prove that he's just not an MVP. He wants to win the whole thing. I would go because Kansas City might have a hangover. And their roster is totally the same. They upgraded it a little bit, but not a lot. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Oh, all right? Wow.
I'm going to go with the Ravens coming out of the AFC and coming out of the NFC. This is going to kill people, too. It will be a Black Sunday. Russell Wilson in the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, he's boy, hard. He's hard to like.
He's,
I gotta be
he's
honest.
On my desk right now. There's some Seahawks fans that they know how much I hate Russell Wilson, so they sent me a signed picture of him here. He's on my desk. So here's the thing about Russell Wilson. To me, he is the A-Rod. Him and Ciara are the A-Rod and J-Lo of football. Where it's just there. It's all about a photo op and this clean image that doesn't really exist. I don't think. At least behind the scenes, like it all. She had a baby with Future, for Christ's sakes. Like,
and then they were talking about they were talking about how they were saving themselves for marriage. I'm like, you've got a baby, bitch. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she already had a kid. You know,
Russell is that guy. You really had to listen to Richard Sherman talk about Russell.
Oh, I love
he's been in the locker room with him. He's been us. You know. Russell comes out, I guess, as a guy that's been in the locker room, as the company man. Like the company man.
Yeah.
Do everything that he needs you to do when you need him to do it. But I think he's a great person, man. He was raised right. He's a genuine guy. I think what he says is genuine. I think when it comes to Ciara, a lot of people didn't know it. Ciara is very religious. Yes, she had a baby out of wedlock, but she's always been religious. And I think that would make them a great parent. And plus, he has better hair than she does.
Yeah, yeah, he was not afraid to relax it either in that last photo shoot. I get sent those pics a million times. It was a mixture between Prince, back in 88, and then like kind of like an Indian guy. He's one of those guys you can't really tell what his race is.
Racially ambiguous, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
No. You really can't. And guess what? Everybody envy him. He got something that you wish you had. Like, yeah. I wish I had that hair. I really do.
It's the future of America. That's where we're headed.
Probably.
Oh, no, definitely.
We're all going to look like him and Patrick Mahomes in like 50 years.
In 50 years, yeah. Probably. Probably. Yeah, with Russell Wilson. So I've got the Chiefs winning it all again. I picked the Chiefs before last season. I think now that Mahomes knows how to win a championship, I just think he's probably got that drive. Lamar Jackson, to me, for Baltimore, is fantastic. You cannot keep running like that in the NFL without getting hurt. Because there's look,
come on, don't do that. We in a new world, it's 2020. You cannot take these old equations and put them to the new NFL. Yes, he can. He just showed you I can run. He didn't get hurt last year. Patrick Mahomes got hurt in the pocket. Not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback. I played against them all my high school career, all my college career. They can stay healthy. They just needed a chance. You seen Charlie Ward do this. You seen Joey Hamilton do this. You seen quarterbacks do this, Mike Vick. You seen these quarterbacks do this before. He is built for this. And then you're going to give him more weapons? They just gave him more weapons. I'm telling you, he can do this. The new quarterback is it. Trevor Lawrence is going to run a lot more than people think he is when he gets to the NFL.
Yeah, he's a surprisingly good runner.
Yeah. Yeah, he ran over Ohio State last year. Yeah. But Michael Vick was my personal favorite player of all time. Obviously, I'm a diehard Falcons fan. After in that third or fourth year, he was taking some big shots, and he kept going out with these ticky-tack injuries over time. And it to me, it just looks like the same thing where, you know, with Lamar Jackson, he doesn't slide, and he's taking some big shots. I just don't think you can do that forever. But he is a gifted quarterback, and he's got a rocket on him, so we'll see. But he just reminds me of my favorite player, Michael Vick, and I don't know how long he can last.
He has your favorite player in his ear. He talks to Mike Vick all the time.
Does he really?
And we both know you are a Falcon fan. Mm-hmm. Dan Reeves used Michael Vick wrong. Mm-hmm. They had Warren Dunn in the backfield and T.J. Duckett. Yep. And they literally let those three guys run the ball. I remember playing against them with Peerless Price. I told Peerless, you might well put your hands in your pocket. Y'all don't even throw the ball. They was literally throwing the ball 11 to 12 times a game. Then you watch Andy Reid, an offensive guru, get his hand on Michael Vick. He made him a passer and a runner second, making him running more lethal to us in the NFCs because now he can spread the field. And Mike could always throw the ball. They just didn't let him throw the ball. That's why he got hurt.
Yeah, that dude's got a hose, man. I remember that playoff game, the ACC championship against Clemson?
Yeah.
He threw the ball off his back left foot about 30 yards, line drive completion. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah,
that
man.
Really throw the ball.
He was a blast to watch. Look, by the way, I hope you're right with Lamar Jackson because I don't want to see the best players get hurt. I really don't. That's just a gut feeling. So I'm going Chiefs out of the AFC and then out of the NFC. Oh, boy.
Lord. I'm so hard, right? No one team. Believe in Jimmy Garoppolo?
It's going to be the 49ers or the Seahawks, in my opinion. I don't think anybody else is good enough.
As much as I hate to say it, I'm going to side with the Seahawks. I don't know what's going to happen in the NFC South with Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and the Saints, you know, kind of killing each other all year. So I got to go with Seattle, but just watching them play every game is like a last second field goal, a touchdown. For whatever reason, that's just how they play the game, and I don't understand it.
That's how they're built. That's how they built. That's why they got Russell. Russell does so much for this team, all right? They don't matter who the running back is. It doesn't matter who the wide receivers are.
It's true.
Russ is going to go out there and win this game. Pete Carroll did not win until Russell Wilson showed up, all right? And the one thing about Pete, he's going to continue to draft no-name guys and turn them into Pro Bowlers. That's what he did with Bobby Wagner and the rest of those guys. They're going to play a form of football that's playoff football. They play playoff football all year round. Right? Yeah. That's why they're going to be great. All right? Russell Wilson is the most underrated football player in the NFL. It's like right now, Russell Wilson is basically Karl Malone, the mailman.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Jordan is Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. You know how we didn't show Karl Malone no respect? Mm. And he was just putting up numbers after numbers after numbers. But he was playing in boring Utah. And nobody just really wanted to ever see him play. And jazz was not even invented in Utah. But then he started to get his props later on in his career. I think that's going to happen to Russell.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right. I don't think there's a guy in the league with more heart and will. He just wills his team to victory. And it's, you know, a bunch of no-name running backs there. I think DK Metcalf can be great next year. He could have a breakout year.
I played against his father. I played against his father, Terrence Metcalf, that's played at Ole Miss, was the offensive lineman.
Oh, really?
Just, his son is built. Yeah, yeah. So I know a lot about DK Metcalf, and they drafted a couple more receivers up there.
Yeah.
And plus, we know this about Pete Carroll. He's going to find the no-names. And mark my words, Moose Pedamas has struck again. This is going to be the year of the Walking Dead. And when I say that, it's going to be a lot of retired players come back into the NFL this year. You've already seen it with Aldon Smith. I heard Percy Harvin wants to come back. Mm-hmm. Eric Berry wants to come back. This is going to be the year. You're going to see 7 to 8 players that haven't played in a year or two pop back up in the NFL, the year of the Walking Dead.
Why don't you get back in there? What kind of shape are you in right now?
I'm 41 years old of happiness. I am content in my career. I'm content in watching these youngsters go out here and play. My body feels good enough for me to continue to enjoy my life. I am fine. I'm retired. Now, I'm thinking about going pro in bowling. I am a very good bowler. I bowled 300 on about 7-8 occasions. I'm thinking about going to the PBA to splash some color in it. I think they need a trash-talking black guy
to
be sponsored by everything from Old English 8-Ball to probably KY Jelly, whatever you want to be my sponsor, and I'm here to play.
Man, I'd kill to see you in there. There hasn't been an exciting bowling personality since Pete Weber Jr., PDW.
Yes, I know about Pete Weber, but see, now that's why I say the time is now.
It
for
is.
For me to take over the PBA right now. I'm telling you, if they give me a chance to compete against the pros, I will beat 90% of them.
So let me ask you this, because I did a bowling movie a long time ago, and they let me bowl in one PBA event. What's to stop you from doing it and actually trying out for the PBA?
Unlike other sports, it's hard to figure out how do you get in the PBA. Like, you can go to some local competitions, you can mm-hmm. play and you can win them, but you still have to get an invitation from the PBA
right.
to be a part of it, to get a part of it. So maybe I need to call my agent, Buzz Cook, and tell him to dust off the folder and see can he get me in at the PBA.
Well, I will say this. When we did the bowling movie, they were so starved for big personalities, because now they're miking up the bowlers and stuff. I don't know if you watch it on ESPN.
Yeah, I watch it all. Yeah,
yeah. They're so starved for personalities. No lie, if your average is pretty high up there, if your agent called, I'm sure you'd get a shot. I did a tournament in Anaheim once, and you have to play. They kind of put the, you know, I don't want to say rookies or lesser known people, but you play these pre-matches before the ones that actually go on television, right? And if you've got to beat, like, you know, I don't know, like 10 people or whatever it is to get onto the television one, I think they would probably let you in if your average is high enough. And I'm not joking, by the way. What is your average?
I could beat them with a blindfold on and 3 thumbs on one hand. I am special when it comes to bowling. And I'm different. And, you know, most bowlers don't talk trash before and after the shot. Like, I'm very animated, high energy. And I think that would start to affect my competition, because they're not used to it. They're not used to having that verbal warfare that I'm willing to give them before and after they take a shot, before and after I take a shot. And it won't stop continuously. Time after time, I will beat them to death and let the world know I did it.
I would pay money to see Fred Smoot on the PBA.
Talking shit to bowlers, yeah.
It'd be great. Fred, this is the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Oh, wow. It's so many people. I really want to show some love to some people out there. But Champ Bailey, that was my guy.
Ah.
Champ, I give him my drink of plus. He just went into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to my guy. He was everything I thought he'd be when I got drafted to Washington from Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
A friend, a brother. We spent a lot of time together. He made my transition to the league so easy. We've kept in touch all these years. He's a great family man. And he's just one of those guys that would never speak up for himself. So I was like his spokesman for a while. So it just a great person to have in my life. Always will be. Always will be a friend.
Yeah, and another SEC guy. He went to University of Georgia.
Oh, yeah. So we had almost an all-SEC cornerback. Like, I remember my first time walking into the DB room when I got drafted by the Redskins, and Deion Sanders, Dale Green, Champ Bailey, Mark Carrier, Sam Shade, all these guys were sitting in this room.
Wow.
So I'm asking Marty Schottenheim, like, why did you waste a pick on me? He's like, nah, don't you worry about it. I'm starting to put, that's you and Champ. So that's when I finally got, so Dion, you know, gave me 21, because I actually practiced in 23 for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Then Dion was like, I'm finna retire. He gave me 21. I put on the 21. Then he ended up 2 weeks later going to the Ravens.
Yeah. I remember that. How was Dion as a person, by the way?
Oh, great person. Great person. I love Prime. That's my energy. I kind of like design my life out there. You know, even in high school, I just like walk. I just walk like everything I did was based off of this guy. And I never forget when I was in college, the first time I ever spoke to him, he called me up. We was talking. I let him know he the reason I wore that too, and he the reason that I act a certain way I do. He said, I could already tell, son. I done drunk Faygo Pop before. I know the play.
Before I let you get out of there, you were talking to us about an app before we came on air. Tell us about the app you have.
I'm working, me and my a couple of my guys, tech guys out here, we came up with an app. You know, when people talk about dating apps, they talk about the Tinders of the world and all that. The one thing they hate is it's a lot of conversation and they never get to meet the person. That's not dating. All right, well, if you get on Winking Drinks, all right, the one thing you will do when you swipe right and she swipe right, y'all are going to meet for a drink right now. We have drink DNA on there that tell us what you like to drink, and therefore the algorithm uses that to pick the best 10 spots for you and this person to meet now. And not only is it one-on-one date, you, him, three more of you guys can attach to the app and y'all can go on a group date. So five can meet five. It'll pick the restaurant for you. You can already order drinks. It's going to be special. It's going to be coming out in probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. Winking Drinks. That's fantastic. And where can everybody find you on social media, Fred?
You can find me at FSmooth21SeanT on Twitter. I'm rarely on Instagram. I think Instagram is for the women, but you can find me at FSmooth27 on there. All right. You know, really, I'm just an Instagram creep. I'm just looking at everybody else on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. Fred, thanks for the time today, man. You're one of the most entertaining people on the planet. We're grateful to have you on Drinking Bros today. Thank you, sir.
Hey, let's not take this long for us to do this again, fellas. Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Look, I'd love to have you back every week. Yeah. You're amazing, dude. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, let me get a shout out to my sponsor, Jack Daniel. Love you every night.
Is that really your sponsor, by the way?
Well, you know what? He's my life sponsor. I'm taking him on trips with me through life everywhere. You know, when times get hard, Jack is there. When times I need to celebrate, Jack is there. You know, Jack is just there for me.
Oh, God bless Jack.
That's his Christmas photo. It's just him and a bunch of bottles of Jack Daniels in the background. They're all wearing Santa hats.
Like my granddad said, if your liquor doesn't have a first of a and a last name, thou shalt not drink it. So I only drink Basil Hayden, Jack Daniel, Crown Royal, whatever has a first and a last name. You'll never see me drink Ciroc. It only got one name. I don't drink it.
Oh, man, you're the fucking best of all time. For Fred Smooth, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Good night, everybody. Yeah, let's clap on.